Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, political scientist David DeMore and I go head-to-head and toe-to-toe. It'll be quite the show. Plus, on the Power Pundit panel today, John Galtney and Guy Rocha. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We're always pleased to welcome back to the program David DeMore. He's a political scientist at UNLV. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Okay, so you wrote this very testy editorial a couple of months back in the Las Vegas Sun, in which you were complaining about the amount of money that is being, or has been in the past, spent in Northern Nevada versus the amount of money being spent in Southern Nevada. Mm-hmm. And we could go on and on about this, but... And your main point, by the way, I'm going to agree with, which is that there was a tremendous amount of money wasted by extending I-580 on the side of the hill instead of going through Pleasant Valley, where the original 395 still resides. Mm-hmm. And the local population back in the day managed to force it on the side of the hill. In fact, there's an irony that the cost overruns was so great when the first contractor pulled out that there was a possibility that the infrastructure would be left up on the side of the hill and the actual road would be constructed where you said it should have been.
Basically widening 395.
Right. So I agree with you on that. But the bigger picture that I wanted to talk to you about, and in part that's the reason for the existence of this program, is that we are a state. And even though we have two-thirds of the population in Southern Nevada, we have a third of the population that lives in the cities and in the rural areas of Northern Nevada. So how do we look at dividing the pie in a fair manner as against what came to me from your article, which is, damn it, they've been stealing our money for years. We need to get it all down here now.
Well, I think there's two issues here. The first is obviously the money and how it gets divided up and what projects get picked and that. But if you take a step back in the chain of events here, you have to think about the governance structure, right? And what we have in Nevada is basically really antiquated governance structures that haven't sort of been reformed to to be consistent with the population change.
In what way?
Well, take, for example, the NDOT executive board, right? It's a 7-member board. You have 4 elected officials up until January 1st, and now there'll be a change in that. So you have the governor, lieutenant governor, the attorney general, who will be removed, and then the controller, and then you divide the state up into 3 regions, right? Las Vegas, which actually goes fairly far north, Washoe, and then the rural around Elko. Right? And so you divide it into 3 parts, and the governor gets to appoint 3 people who represent the interests from those districts. Right? That was created in 1957. Right? Nevada is the only state where the governor oversees transportation policy. Every other state has made reforms to this because transportation is highly technical, a lot at stake here. And we just haven't made those changes, right? So you have the situation where you have non-transportation experts overseeing the transportation policy in the state.
But they do have the input, especially in the north and south, of the RTCs. Mm-hmm. So, and NDOT itself is not a chump organization. I mean, there are a lot of very smart people that work within these organizations.
Exactly. But you look at the governance structure, right? And so what you end up seeing here is, for example, in the 80s and the 90s, there was a big shift in the federal policy, right, to essentially allow states to have more latitude using money for local funds, using it for light rail, as opposed to just building roads. We've never made any of those changes here, right? So you look within Las Vegas, right, the core of Las Vegas, the tourist area, those roads are considered local, even though they basically serve the engine of the state's economy, right? So there's really not much investment. You expand I-15, you had bonds from the convention authority as opposed to state investment there, right? You look at the beltway that surrounds that, that's all local dollars here, right? They're basically assessments on people's properties to pay for that, right? So that's sort of where we get at here, is you're essentially, if you're investing a lot of money to serve very, very few people and you're under-investing in the economic engine, that's going to have consequences.
All right, but... You know, you can't look at, say, I think one of the problems is that, you know, it's said in the past that people in Reno don't like Las Vegas. But I say that people in Las Vegas don't even know where the hell Reno is. Okay? And that when they think of Reno, they're thinking, well, it's probably the same size as Elko or Fallon or Fernley, when that nothing could be further from that reality.
No, I mean, you look at the Washoe, Carson, MSA, that's 560,000 people, right? It's about the 85th or somewhere around biggest in the country there. So it's not rural by any extension of the word, right? It's pretty urban based here, and I get that.
And you also need, when you're planning roads, for example, the Beltway here, the 215, and the McCarran Ring Road in Northern Nevada were both brilliant moves because they really looked to the future to solve traffic problems before they occurred and were very, very wise investments.
No, and I think you're absolutely right on that. And that is one of the issues you might think with at the federal level, with the federal dollars. They're sort of a they follow population growth. They don't sort of precede it. You have to show the need first, and then the feds will say, okay, that project merit. It also requires you to have state investment, right, and also to have some local investment as well, right? So I think Nevada is now big enough that you need to start thinking about how can we make these governance structures more efficient and more in line with the population, right? We're no longer a rural state. We're one of those urban states in the country here. You have 85% of the population lives in 2 counties, right? Washoe and Clark here. So it's very, very urban here. Now, there's always going to be subsidies for rural, right? They're just not going to be able to, there's not enough population, not enough economic activity to sort of pay for those roads and pay for the schools out there. We understand that there. But, you know, you're using these...
But they're also using private investment. For example, in Elko County and Eureka County, the mining organizations put money in. In fact, I believe in Eureka County, there's some of the best schools in the state because of the
money. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let's take a break. Much more to talk about. We'll be right back with Dave DeMoore after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. the Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking with political scientist David Damore, and we're talking about the distribution and what is a fair distribution. So as you look at the formula, and let's use Rhodes as the example, mm-hmm. I mean, should we be looking at, you know, two-thirds of the money comes to Clark County and a third of the money goes everywhere else? Because in your article, you were kind of like, you know, poo-pooing the ideas of anything that was outside of Clark County.
Well, to some degree, I think there's a sort of growing resentment here. We see a $550 million bridge built, right, during a time of economic retrenchment.
That
right?
had been planned for 30 years.
I understand that. Now you see a beltway being built around Carson City, right? That's in the last 2 years, Carson City's lost population.
But that again, is a long-term infrastructure project that was designed because downtown Carson City was just becoming completely jammed, and it mm-hmm. was no good for businesses that were there, it was no good for government that was there, and so there was a need to relieve the stress of that traffic on one main highway, mm-hmm. and that is far from being complete.
Mm-hmm. No, it'll, they're piecemealing it out, it'll take a couple of years here.
A couple of years, maybe a couple of decades.
You think that long?
The way the money is.
Yeah, the way the money is here. In the meantime, right, you don't have a real road between here and Phoenix, right? That's one of the things that we're frustrated
about. And we're all in agreement on that, mm-hmm. and I think that, you know, Interstate 11 is one of the most exciting things to come along, and the potential to see that go to Reno, to go up to the Canadian border, mm-hmm. and to go down to the Mexican port. So yeah, we're all in agreement on that, mm-hmm. and obviously the southern component of that makes the most sense for mm-hmm. every reason. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to my basic question, which is, what should be the divvy on this money? Should it just be a straight, okay, Las Vegas gets two-thirds, everybody else gets to split a third? Or do we
look
at it
in other
ways? Well,
I think you need to look at the economic return on investment on these projects, right? There was no economic return on analysis done on the Interstate 580 project, right? Because it would never have panned out economically here, right? So I think that has to be a component of the policy decisions here. What are we going to get? If we're going to invest this money in here, what's the return on investment going to be there? Right? That road's never, ever going to pay for itself, right? And I think we're both in agreement on that. So that has to be part of the discussion.
I already gave you that one right at the beginning.
Right? That has to be part of the discussion here. We also need to think about, right, well, one of the problems we have in Southern Nevada is between the airport and the strip, right? Every minute people are waiting in line for a cab. Every minute they're not on the strip spending money, that's revenue we're not making, right? And that's what's driving the state's economy here. So the longer you don't have light rail going to the strip, the longer you don't have state investment in the infrastructure around the resort corridor, it's going to basically, people have a finite amount of time to be in Las Vegas. When they're here, they're going to spend their money. The longer they're waiting in traffic, less money they spend.
All right, but that goes back to the basic question, which is, how do you divvy this up? I mean, you know, is there not a simpler formula? Because return on investment can depend on, you know, who's getting the return.
Exactly.
And who's doing the investing.
Exactly. You're right. You're right on that. But at some point, right, you need to make these decisions. Now, I don't think we have a formula, right? Every year it's going to be X dollars versus X dollars, right? And to make matters worse, right, if you look at the last two budget cycles, right, the governor swept the state highway fund. That money, any remaining money in there, which would have gone for projects in the rurals or the north or the south, is no longer available. It's been moved in the state general fund. Right, so you're automatically, by doing that, undercutting your ability to satisfy the demands throughout the state.
Well, and also, you're, in some way, at least, some would say, honoring your pledge not to raise taxes by taking the available monies that you have to be able to avoid doing that beyond the sunset of taxes.
That's a political gimmick, right? We have one of the lowest tax burdens for the average citizen. And if you look at the Tax Institute, we're like 47th or 48th in that.
Yeah, but you're not the one who has to run for election next year. And so if you break all your campaign promises, then you're not going to be, you know, in whatever office you want to be.
Well, then don't put yourself in a box, right? Don't put yourself in a box, right? On this. And, you know, that's the politics.
Whoever got elected, see Walter Mondale on saying, you know, he's going to raise your taxes. He's not going to tell you that. I'm going to raise your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
49 states went for Reagan.
I agree. It's not necessarily a winner here, but at the end of the day, the other way this could go down, right, is in the legislative process, right, the Southern delegation just keep taking bigger shares out of it. And that's going to come out of the rural share. It's going to come out of the Washoe share.
And that's already occurring. I mean,
it
rural Nevada has suffered greatly. I mean, you go to the legislature and you see the county commissioners and the city councilor from Elko coming down to the legislature looking for dollars because they cannot afford, they don't have the representation, and they can't afford the lobbyists.
And you certainly, and you saw that with the funding for the community colleges, right? Great Basin, Truckee Meadows, and Western there. They took big hits last time around there. I don't think that's anybody, that's what nobody wants, per se. But if you're going to make the pie this big, right, and there's a lot of pressure on our southern legislators from the business community, right, to come back with more revenue, right, that's where it's going to come from. So if you're not willing to make the pie bigger, we're going to have these zero-sum fights about roads, about education dollars.
Okay, I've got 1 minute left here, so I just want to ask you the biggest question. Do you think the margins tax is going to pass, and what would the teachers do with $1.6 billion additional revenue?
You know, there's been a little bit of polling suggests it looks good here. There's a lot of things that they did well in that. The first thing they did is obviously not call it a margin tax, the education initiative there. The second thing is they tried to frame it in terms of money going directly to education. Now, that, we know that's normally not the case here. But what we know is that voters tend to be more receptive to tax increases or bond projects where they know the outcome.
Right.
As opposed to, I'm going to raise your taxes, it's going to go up there, and some politicians are going to divvy up for their pet projects.
But the likelihood is, do you not think, that if this amount of money is raised, that the legislature will just take the money that they normally put into the DSA and use it for their pet
project? I think there's that's a concern, and there's nothing that the initiative can do to stop that.
And that's where you have to leave it. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Come back soon. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Why Marshall Realty?
Experience, results, and compassion is why we are number one. You get the most experienced team that is passionate about your results. Bottom line, we do truly care. Call me today and find out exactly why.
There are two things you should know. First thing, shop Grocery Outlet first and save the most. Second thing, Grocery Outlet also has an amazing selection of wine.
And handcrafted beer.
Those are the two things I want you to know. You should also know about this great deal.
Right now, 3 pounds of ground beef, just $6.99. And 1 pound of butter, just $1.99.
Grocery Outlet, a bargain market.
Why are people smiling all over the city of Reno? It's because they've discovered Absolute Dental's affordable quality. Absolute Dental will help you and your family get the whiter, straighter, and healthier smiles you've all been looking for. And it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. We're here to work out a way to make it affordable so you'll never have to put off taking care of your teeth again. Now that's something to smile about. Just go to any Absolute Dental location right now or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
Why short sale now?
The Tax Forgiveness Act is the biggest benefit for homeowners ever. The Fresh Start program allows homeowners to buy a home after 1 year, and I will personally guarantee you full debt release or you never short sale, period.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, John Galtney is here, President Emeritus of Truckee Meadows Community College, and Guy Rocha, former Nevada State Archivist. Pleasure to have you both on the program. A lot of noise, Guy, has been made over the handshake between President Obama and Raul Castro. This is not a new thing for you.
Well, you know, I mean, it immediately struck me that this is political theater. You know, presidents shaking hands people that would be considered perhaps political enemies or, countries that concern us, communists and whatever. I mean, presidents did that. This was actually at a funeral, but, mm-hmm. you know, I gave you a photograph of JFK shaking Nikita Khrushchev's hand in the Vienna meeting that they had in 1961. Nobody was screaming about that, mm-hmm. and everybody knew what Khrushchev stood for. Ultimately, they ended up being fairly good friends after the Cuban Missile Crisis,
right.
you know. But the same thing, Senator John McCain of Arizona, appoints to the fact that you have that handshake in the Munich conference with the Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain and Adolf Hitler. And so I say, wait a second, they're comparing that to that? That is a major conference. And I mean, there were concessions made to the Sudetenland to Adolf Hitler, who was already moving, you know, an aggressive agenda. This was a passing situation. Cuba poses no threat to us.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with Guy. First of all, it was Nelson Mandela's funeral. It's a spirit of compromise and kindheartedness that was going on there. What do? You turn around and walk away from the man? I mean, I don't see this as a major event. Plus the fact it's time the policy changed. The economics of this makes no sense anymore. I don't know that we've hurt that island as badly as we can. The people there have suffered bitterly because of it. And I don't know, we didn't change the government. We didn't change much of the policy structure. So why in the world are we carrying out the same policy that's 40 years old?
And Jon Stewart on The Daily Show pointed out that there's not only a bad prison system in the Cuban part of Cuba, but there's another one that sits there as well.
Let me just say I support Jon's position too.
It's time.
It's time to make the change, because communism essentially has failed in Cuba. Let's go in there and work with them and introduce the capitalist system, not as a belligerent, but fundamentally saying ours will work, yours has failed.
I'm available as a consultant.
Yeah. and the Castros are going to die off, their comrades are going to die off,
right.
And it's time that we went in there, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for American business that will help the Cuban people, and maybe at this point in time, the influence of Cubans in Florida will not be so strong as to not allow this to go forward.
Yes.
I wanted to drop in a couple of things. Harry Reid has been incredibly visible over the last year or so, and terrific. He's been on this show a couple of times, and he just did a media tour across the state, and there were some choice things that he had to say, and I pulled these from the Las Vegas Sun. One of his comments, Reid had few kind words about his relationship with Nevada's other Senator Dean Heller. Their 2 years representing Nevada together has Reid yearning for Heller's predecessor. He said stunningly, "I miss John Anson. I had a wonderful relationship with John Anson. He and I didn't agree politically, but we had a wonderful relationship." Does this interest, amuse?
Well, I know his relationship with John Anson was good. I used to go, they'd have that breakfast for Nevadans. Maybe you've attended that too.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Got my photograph taken with both Senator Anson and Senator Reid. They had a pretty good working relationship moving Nevada agenda items. Apparently, Dean and Senator Heller, and I've known Dean a long time, so I refer to him, familiar ways. But, apparently there's a tension there, but I'm surprised that he isn't trying to cultivate him more than he is, but he's probably very unhappy with some of his votes. He's out there right now. I'm seeing a lot more of Senator Reid right now, and I think the campaign has begun.
I think the interesting side effect here is that there are two Senator Reids. The Senator Reid that I
only
enjoy.
Only two?
Well, at least two. The one that I enjoyed the most was Senator Reid, who was not majority leader. I think he represented Nevada in many ways philosophically much better than he does
now. He was known then, as Richard Bryan was, as a conservative Democrat.
Absolutely, which I lent my name to his campaign twice. He asked me for
as
the
a
literature.
Republican.
As a Republican. I was on the list of Republicans that agreed. As majority leader, I refused to do that. When I was called, I said, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't think you represent Nevada in the same way you represented Nevada a few years ago. I understand the goal of getting as much in our pocket as we can from your position, but philosophically, I can no longer support you. That was...
So you'd rather have Chuck Schumer?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. And he's in line. I know he is. Yeah. And he is a true true liberal.
Yeah. Okay, quick responses to this, because we're almost out of time. One of the things Harry Reid said was one of the first things we have to do is increase the minimum wage. We have people working two minimum wage jobs, 80 hours a week, and they can barely make it. We need to raise it to $10 an hour, which would put it at $11 an hour in Nevada. And there are certainly the restaurant folks would say that's going to put us out of business.
And, you know, the culinary will, Local 226 will support it. Unions will get behind it. That's the constituency he's appealing to. I think he's sincere, personally, about it.
Do you support it?
I don't.
Okay, that's where we got to leave it. All right, my friends, thank you so much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
If you're facing financial disaster and the light at the end of the tunnel is a train, why not accept our helping hand? Why be terrified of bankruptcy when it may be the lifeline you're looking for? Just call Darby Law Practice and get help. We're the law firm that handles all levels of bankruptcy.
We can help you protect what's important to you
while wiping out your debts and giving you a fresh start.
Call Darby Law Practice for a free consultation.
A helping hand is just a phone call away. Call Darby Law Practice at 322-1237 today.
Friends and family pricing, 2 days only.
This Wednesday and Thursday, Moore gives everyone the same discount we give our friends and family.
It's an extra special holiday gift for you.
Friends and family prices on living rooms, dining rooms, bedrooms, and kids and teens furniture.
Hurry, our special Friends and Family holiday event ends this Thursday night at 9 p.m.
Happy holidays from Moore Furniture for Less.
Who's got pranks, jokes, and gags for any and all occasions?
Faster!
Who's got cool toys that delight and enchant children of all ages?
Faster!
We've got fun stuff for your head, fun stuff for your walls. We've got novelties and gifts that will dazzle you all. And act now,
because we got candy.
All your favorites from the past, present, and beyond.
Till the moon is!
Fun stuff is located at 2301 Kitski Lane, Reno, inside Frankstown Corners.
With the holidays coming, you hope all your home appliances work, right? Well, if not, Northern Nevada Appliance Outlet has just the answers for you. A new appliance at a price you'll never see again on any appliance during Northern Nevada Appliance Outlet's year-end clearance sale. Save up to $1,000 on refrigerators and cooking appliances. Save up to $500 on dishwashers, washers, and dryers. Come on down and get the buy of the year on all appliances today at Northern Nevada Appliance Outlet year-end clearance sale on South Carson Street next to Applebee's.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. And the guests coming up next week, Reno Mayor Bob Cashel and education advocate Jill Toles. See you next week.